right, Kevin Barker. The hell did I just see?
It's bad baseball, buddy. That's what you saw.
Brutal baseball. The Blue Jays, 7-6 losers to the Boston Red Sox. They carried a 6-2 lead into the eighth inning. And, well, you know, Kevin, it's, look, we've talked a lot about how this team has a lot of offensive issues. Offensive issues focused mainly on its main players. Okay, we'll leave Vladdy aside for now. But, so the Jays basically have made a, they've made a pact with the devil. They've made a pact with the baseball devil. They brought up a couple of guys from the minors, one of whom, Spencer Horwitz, is helping them offensively. But Spencer Horwitz and Addison Barger, let's be clear, they're still works in progress defensively. We saw an error, a misplay tonight. Misplay in that eighth inning, and then, of course, I'm sorry, an error, misplay in the eighth inning and a misplay in the ninth inning on, admittedly, a bouncer off the bat of a fast base runner. But, Kevin, it goes back to the eighth inning. I thought John Schneider kind of played it the way he wanted to play it after a couple of those soft contact fell in. He got the matchup he wanted. Zach Pop throws the first pitch to Rami Gonzalez. It's a two-run single. The game's tied, and then, of course, the Red Sox win it in the ninth. A bunch of guys who weren't good enough, basically, contributed to that.
Yeah, I think the misplays in the infield, there's no excuse for it. Like, we understand why, right? They're searching for anything they can search for just because the offense, quite frankly, up until this point hasn't been good enough. So you're trying to, when you do call guys up, fill in the blanks, and if you have to put them on the defensive side where you don't really feel comfortable putting them there, you have to do what you have to do. I mean, Barger's an outfielder, right? Why can't you catch a pop-up? I mean, the Horowitz play, I mean, because it's a fast runner, right? You got to catch the ball first. And you don't peek. When you peek, you notice mm-hmm. the runner. You know, you sort of fumble the baseball. Again, speed kills, Jeff. Like, this yep. is sort of why yep. these teams, these decent teams. I mean, the Red Sox not a great team. They're a decent team. But they got a bunch of young guys who are hungry. And they running everything out, right? And when you got fast dudes who are putting pressure on guys who are playing out of position, this is exactly what happens. And then you got a couple of guys coming out of that pen are, quite frankly, not executing pitches, right? I mean, it's just – it's sort of a trickle-down effect. Dude's not making plays. Execution's not made. When that happens – when you're right now not a very good team, you lose a baseball game. That's exactly what happens. It's a shame. Bassett was really good. I mean, he wiggled out of that seventh inning. Other than that back-to-back curveball that he threw one of them good to Devers. He threw the other ones basically right down the middle. You know, Devers got his tongue hanging out trying to hit that thing to the moon. That's exactly what happened. But other than that, I mean, you know, man, can you say anything better about Bassett? And finally, you know, the first baseman finally hit a ball to the moon. You would think the sort of the bad things were over, and then all of a sudden the eighth and ninth inning hit, and yeah, here we go again.
And listen, I thought in that inning, Vladdy hits the home run. You saw the hit and run that keeps the double play at bay. I mean, I John Schneider's lineup, I thought John Schneider had a pretty good game up until the eighth inning. I mean, it's not – again, he's going with the bullpen that he has. This organization, we've talked about this. I don't know what they're seeing, but they seem to have an inordinate amount of faith in this same guys that haven't gotten it done for them this year. They seem to want to stick with them. There's frankly not much John Schneider can do in that particular situation, I don't think. But you're right, a couple of plays not made. Even Kevin Kiermaier, I mean, we've seen him make that play 9 out of 10
yeah,
times.
Yeah, but when you leave your feet like that, Jeff, and you're sprawled out as the way he was, you can't argue. I mean, he did everything right except catch the baseball. Like, yeah. How can you, when a baseball player's doing the things he tried to do to catch it, he just didn't catch it. So that's a hard one to throw your hands in the air. But the play not made at third and the play not made at second. And then just the lack of execution, right? You want a ball away, get it away. This is almost the end of June. Like, these dudes have been around in the big leagues long enough and mechanically sound enough, you would think, to be able to execute pitches late in games. And it's just not happening. And again, when hot teams, confident teams get good pitches to hit, most of the time they don't miss them. And That's how you lose. It's called losing, Jeff.
Let's talk about the top of the ninth inning as well, Kevin. I mean, I don't know what I saw. I'm happy. I mean, Alejandro Kirk, it's a leadoff single. You bring in your organizational leader in stolen bases. I'm sitting there screaming, why are you bunting with the organizational leader in stolen bases? Let him steal a base, for God's sake. And then, of course, he gets caught stealing.
Yeah, I mean, he had
maybe
went.
Maybe John Schneider knew what he was doing there, but again,
he had went so many times, right? I talked about that calibration. This
yes.
is sort of Kenley Jansen had seen him go long enough times where he was holding the baseball longer, right? He get it signed quicker. He was holding it. He was making the kid stand over there, right? I mean, he went so many times that they tried to figure out how to just sort of throw off the rhythm and the timing of his jump, and it worked, right? I mean, it took a perfect throw to get him. It took a better scoop by the shortstop to get him. It took a really good tag to get him. Like, everything worked out probably the way, you know, the Blue Jays didn't want it to work out. And, again, this is what right now a hot team and the Red Sox are sort of doing, right? They are playing to the situation. And you give them enough time to figure out how to get a dude out, sooner or later they're going to get that guy out. And I have no idea what Kiermaier's doing. Like,
I have no clue either.
Let him steal and bunt him to third. That's what you do.
Put on, can it?
I mean, he kept looking down there like it was. I have no idea. Like you would think after the best jump that he got, the time that he actually looked to me like he'd stolen the base, and the ball was not even close, and it was an elevated ball. That's a very hard ball to bunt. It was already you already had a strike on you. You would just think Kevin's been around long enough. I mean, he's hitting the nine hole long enough. He understands what he needs to do. Like it just. Again, sort of sometimes when you're going the way the Blue Jays are going, you just can't really do anything right. I mean, that's basically the way the eighth and the ninth inning went.
But look, this gets back to the construction of this roster right now, too, though. You know, really, you've got Spencer Horowitz's best position is probably DH. You've got him playing second base. You've got Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, God bless Kevin Kiermaier, but right now he is at best a fourth outfielder, a defensive substitution on a good team. He's giving you nothing offensively. And, you know, Addison Barger at third base. I mean, again, the organization likes to trumpet their versatility and moving guys around. Sweet Jesus, just give me somebody who can play one position. I don't even care if he plays it really well. Just give me a guy that can play one position.
Yeah, look, I think it's more of, again, when you're not hitting and you're not helping out a rotation, you have to try and fill in the blanks with the best you can fill in the blanks with. And, you know, this is sort of what the outcome looks like. I just don't know how it gets better. Like, again, when Bo gets back tomorrow, I think the IKF will be playing third. That'll help out a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can, you know, not play the Bargers of the world. And, you know, maybe you put Schneider at second base. You put somebody else in left. Like, you know, when Varsho gets back, like, you could have your sort of your defense sort of lined up the way you want it to be lined up. Just today, man, this is tough. Like, these are losses, Jeff, that this is how people get fired. Like, this is the big leagues, man. This ain't the minor leagues. I mean, it's one thing to lose. It's one thing to lose six in a row. It's another thing to lose a game like this.
Yes.
And these games, you know well as anybody. You've been around forever. You've seen guys get fired like this. Like, this is how organizations start to change just because the optics of the way they're starting to lose. So,
this
you know,
team,
again,
I got to tell you, this team reminds me very much of the Blue Jays when John Gibbons was fired the first time. Very much when John Gibbons was fired the first time. They had some sloppy plays in the outfield. This is a thing that is really getting to me right now is, you know, you want to believe in what you're seeing out of Spencer Horowitz offensively. You know, Davis Schneider, let's face it, has come back down to earth. But I really, Kevin, get the sense, as I said, that this is a lineup. Other than Vladdy and maybe IKF tonight, I don't know if there's an everyday player in that lineup.
Well, I like Turner. Turner's at bats are getting a little bit better. Those are kind of nice. I mean, the
A DH, fine. Yeah, but other than that, I don't know. I don't think there's an everyday position player in that lineup.
It's a lot to ask.
Three.
I mean, it's not the kids' fault. Like, you know, again, they're trying.
No,
to
it's not. Nobody's blaming the kids, and we know where the blame lies. The blame lies with on the construction of the team. I mean, that's where the blame lies.
Yeah, it's just like again, at the big league level, when everything's working a little faster. And you're trying to play out of position, and you're thinking about late in games, you know, please don't let the ball be hit to me, especially with these dudes that are running all over the place. And they can run like deer, and then you just have to make every play perfectly. Like, it's just, Jeff, again, it's a lot to ask a first baseman to play second in Fenway Park against a bunch of guys who are playing that way. Now, again, the pop-up at third base, there's no excuse for that. I mean, Barger's an outfielder. He should catch that thing 11 out of 10 times. But, again, this gets back to that sort of play out of position. You don't want to hog the ball from the shortstop. Like, there's a communication factor. So, yeah, this is what losing looks like.
You might have heard that there's a hockey game on tonight. It is 2-1 for the Florida Panthers. We're in the second intermission. We're going to carry you right up to the end of the second intermission, or just before the end of the second intermission. Then we'll pass it over to the NHL Network. So you will be able to hear the third period of Game 7 tonight. Again, the Florida Panthers leading 2-1. We're going to take a break, hear from the skipper, and wrap this up. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Nah, you got to move on. You know, yeah, there's definitely some positives, you know, but when you're in a rut like this, a stretch like this, as much as it sucks right now, it'll suck until midnight tonight, and then you try to get over it. You got Kev on the mound tomorrow, and you got to keep going. You know, it's this game's cruel. You know what I mean? This game can really beat you up, punch you. Again, I think over the course of the last week, and I said it yesterday, I said it in Cleveland, the guys are going about it the right way. You know, they're not quitting, and they are out there competing. Today, a few mistakes get magnified, and this is a really tough place to record the last three outs in the ninth inning. And you got to move on to more.
That is John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, speaking after a 7-6 loss to the Blue Jays. To the Red Sox. 7-6 loss to the Jays.
Yeah, you could say
loss to the Red Sox.
Jeff, you can say what you want about John Schneider. It's rare that he throws his team under the bus. I mean, he could very easily come on there and say, this is the freaking big leagues, catch the ball at third and make the play at second and execute a pitch every once in a while. It's a four-run lead going into the eighth inning. I mean, give him credit. Like, he is, say what you want, think what you want of John Schneider. If you're the 26 dudes in that locker room, I'm not real sure how you could walk up to John and go, why are you saying that, bud? Like, man, give him kudos. Like, consistently he's had their back, and I'm sure that hasn't been the easiest thing to do.
No, if you're looking at your Blue Jays bingo card and you had a balk, two defensive errors, misplays, a two-run home run, caught stealing, and some questionable at-bats in the eighth and ninth inning. Congratulations. You had a winning Blue Jays bingo card. If you had Vladdy hitting the longest home run in his career, well, congratulations there, too. A little extra for you. 7-6, the Blue Jays losing to the Boston Red Sox. 7 in a row. Mr. Barker's Blue Jays have lost. I do believe you have to go back to 2019 to find the last time the Jays lost 7 in a row. And, well, they've got two more games against the Red Sox, who currently hold down the final wild card position. And it's been rare that the Blue Jays have been eliminated before the end of NHL season, but
it's getting closer.
It certainly is. Bo Bichette scheduled to come back tomorrow, Kevin. How do you see the Blue Jays playing this? Not so much in terms of who goes down,
how
but
you
in terms of the
that?
Lineup.
Like,
in terms,
see it,
in terms of the lineup.
See it or how I would do it?
Well, how would you do it with Bo coming back? How would you set up the lineup?
I'm hitting Bo second and third and everybody else I could care less. How's that? That's what it just seems to me like. Bo's at bats are better in the two hole. Bo's not a run producer. Like, don't force him into being one. He ain't that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not. Let him be Bo. Bo is better in the two hole. Like, put him in the two hole, leave Vladdy in the three hole, and then whatever you want to do everywhere else, who cares? Like, if you want to hit Turner or Varsho when he comes back, or Horowitz leading off, or IKF.
No,
or
who cares? I was going to say, I like platooning IKF and Horowitz at the top of the order.
Why not?
And then going with Bo and Vladdy, and then whoever the hell is left.
As long as
George Springer can hit 14th in the someplace.
Man, you see them at bats? Holy. I'm not moving Bo around. I'm not putting him in the two hole and the next day putting him in the cleanup spot. I'm treating him just like Vladdy. I'm gonna put him in a spot, leave him, and we're gonna ride this thing out. I'm gonna call them two in the office and say, we're either gonna live with you or we're gonna die with you. Go get him, boys. How about that?
What are you making of Vladdy's at bats lately? He has hit, considering we've been crying and praying for home runs from Vladdy, we are seeing some home runs from Vladdy.
Yeah.
What are you seeing today? Today looked like a Vladdy swing.
Yeah. I think it's on time. I thought it was free and easy. I thought one at bat set up the other one. I've said this for a bazillion years. If you want to educate guests, hit the hater. Hit the hater, your next bat, go up and look for a sweeper. You get the sweeper up, you hit that thing to Jupiter. That's how you educate guests. You don't do it how he's been doing it. I said this, and I'll continue to say it. He forces fastballs on the plate because he has more talent than most humans that hold a bat. He will have success. If he chases, he'll be peaks and valleys, and we'll want to pull our hair out and asking what the heck's going on and why you're rolling over to third. Continue to do these things. This is what I said. Again, they go into the season saying the core. The two dudes are the core. Get Bo back tomorrow. Have a little confidence in him. Put him in the two hole. Hopefully him and Vladdy feed off of each other. And if anything, maybe you just have fun watching them two just destroy baseballs. If they lose, they lose. At least you're sort of, having faith in your two dudes. And hopefully they do that. Will they do that? Probably not. But hopefully they do that.
Well.
Because they're going to overthink it. Well, they'll overthink it, Jeff.
Of course they're going to overthink it. Of course they're going to. Bo could end up leading off or hitting fourth tomorrow. I wouldn't know. Nothing, honest to God, nothing would surprise me. I'm sure the laptops are working away as we speak, trying to come up with the correct lineup for tomorrow's game. 7-6, the Blue Jays. They get walked off by the Boston Red Sox. That, my friends, is 7 losses in a row. Second game of the 3-game series goes tomorrow night. A reminder, Blair and Barker from 4 to 6 Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan tomorrow. We will, of course, go more in-depth on tonight's loss and maybe get more, you have a better idea of how the lineup will shape up with Bo Bichette coming back. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Comber and Stony Creek. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. Stay tuned for Game 7 right here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.